Hello and welcome to episode 855 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Saturday, Easter Saturday, and also the first Saturday of the month, April 6th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Saturday prayer by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori, to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain her patronage. O my Most Holy Mother, I see the graces which thou hast obtained for me, and I see the ingratitude of which I have been guilty towards thee. An ungrateful soul is no longer worthy of favors, but I will not on this account distrust thy mercy, which is greater than my ingratitude. O my great Advocate, pity me. Thou dispensest all the graces which God grants to us miserable creatures, and for this purpose he has made thee so powerful, so rich, and so benign. He has done so that thou mightest succor us in our miseries. Ah, Mother of Mercy, leave me not in my poverty. Thou art the advocate of the most miserable and guilty criminals who have recourse to thee. Defend me also, who recommend myself to thee. Say not that my cause is too difficult to be gained, for all causes, however desperate, when defended by thee, are gained. In thy hands, then, do I place my eternal salvation. To thee do I entrust my soul. It was lost. Thou, then, by thy intercession, hast to save it. I wish to be inscribed amongst thy most devoted servants. Reject me not. Thou seekest the miserable to relieve them. Abandon me not, who am a wretched sinner, who have recourse to thee. Speak for me. Thy Son does all that thou askest him. Take me under thy protection. That is all that I ask. Yes, for if thou protectest me, I fear nothing. I do not fear my sins, for thou wilt obtain me a remedy for the evil they have done me. I do not fear the devils, for thou art more powerful than all hell. I do not even fear Jesus, my judge himself, for by a single prayer of thine he is appeased. I only fear that by my negligence I may cease to recommend myself to thee and thus be lost. It is true that these graces are too great for me, who have not deserved them, but they are not too great for thee, who art so much loved by God. Hence he grants thee all that thou askest. Thou hast only to speak, and he denies thee nothing. Pray then to Jesus for me. Tell him that thou protectest me. And then he is sure to pity me. My mother, in thee do I trust. In this hope I shall live in peace, and in it I wish to die. Live, Jesus, our love, and Mary, our hope. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. And I wanted to mention a bit about the first Saturday devotion, because today is the first Saturday of the month. This is from the Fatima Center, which begins with a quote, "To whoever embraces this devotion, I promise salvation." Our world faces an unprecedented political, economic, social, moral, and spiritual crisis for which there is no human solution. God loves us and foresaw these times. In 1917, he sent the Blessed Virgin Mary to three shepherd children in Fatima, Portugal, with heaven's solution. At Fatima, Our Lady pleaded, "Do not offend the Lord our God anymore, for he is already too much offended. Instead, humanity's outrages against God have only intensified." The great secret of Fatima. On July 13, 1917, our Blessed Mother revealed that God wills to establish in the world devotion to her Immaculate Heart. To prevent divine punishment, Our Lady would return to ask for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. She said, "If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred, the Holy Father will have much to suffer, various nations will be annihilated." The magnificent promise. As promised, Our Lady returned to request the communion of reparation on the five first Saturdays. On December 10, 1925, she appeared to Lucia in Pontevedra, Spain. By her side, elevated on a luminous cloud, was the child Jesus. The Most Holy Virgin rested her hand on Lucia's shoulder and showed her a heart encircled by thorns, which she held in her other hand. Our Lady said, "Look at my daughter, at my heart. surrounded with thorns with which ungrateful men pierce me at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. You at least try to console me and announce in my name that I promise to assist at the moment of death with all the graces necessary for salvation. All those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months shall confess, receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the 15 mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to me. Why five first Saturdays? In 1925, indulgence Saturday devotions to Our Lady already existed, although no indulgence carried the magnificent promise of final perseverance. Lucia asked Our Lord why he wanted to establish a new devotion consisting of five first Saturdays. He answered, "It is true, my daughter, that many souls begin, but few persevere to the end, and those who persevere do it to receive the graces promised for it. Souls that make the five first Saturdays with fervor and to make reparation to the heart of your mother in heaven please me more than the tepid and indifferent who make the 15. God, in his goodness, asks us only for five first Saturdays to obtain Our Lady's promised graces, but emphasizes that we must offer the devotion with fervor and the intention of making reparation. Our Lord explained to Lucia why he seeks five Saturdays of reparation. There are five types of blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Number one, blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception. Number two, blasphemies against her perpetual virginity. Number three, blasphemies against her divine maternity and refusing at the same time to recognize her as the mother of men. Number four, blasphemies of those who publicly seek to sow in the hearts of children indifference or scorn or even hatred of this Immaculate Mother. And number five, offenses of those who outrage her directly in her holy images. Lucia summed up why we must attach great importance to this devotion. Our good Lord in his infinite mercy asked me to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and to implore pardon and mercy in favor of souls who blaspheme against her, because the divine mercy does not pardon these souls without reparation. As promised, Our Lady also returned to request the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart in an apparition to Lucia on June 13, 1929. Every first Saturday, we should, one, make a good confession within 8 or so days before or after the first Saturday, two, receive Holy Communion, three, pray five decades of the Holy Rosary, four, keep Our Lady company for 15 additional minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, and five, offer each of the above acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And once again, friends, the website to be a part of the Fatima Challenge, the Fatima Center says, help us present Our Lady with a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 first Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request of this devotion, December 10, 2025. To join the challenge, please visit www.fatima.org/100x100. We're going to continue today, friends, with chapter 6 entitled Churchmen Do Not Want You to Know the Full Fatima Message, another article from the Fatima Crusader, issue number 132, spring 2024 edition, titled A Fake Sister Lucia? This has to do with the fake Sister Lucy hypothesis. As we have seen, the Sister Lucy Truth Project has demonstrated with a high level of certitude that an imposter appeared as Sister Lucia at public appearances with Popes Paul VI and John Paul II and on a few other occasions, including the infamous interviews with Carlos Evaristo in 1992 and 1993. Claims that Sister Lucia was eliminated prior to 1967, some suggest as early as the 1940s, and was replaced by a Vatican-controlled imposter, however, are entirely without foundation. The real Sister Lucia continued to make statements about Fatima and the situation in the church and the world, which contradicted the Vatican's revisionist narrative until 1989. There is good reason to believe she was alive and was interviewed by Archbishop Bertone in 2000 and 2001. Why an imposter for public appearances post-1967? Why would the Vatican use an imposter for Sister Lucia's public appearances in 1967 and thereafter? We can only speculate about the answer to this question since no one from the Vatican has admitted that it substituted an imposter for Sister Lucia at these appearances, let alone discuss their motivation for doing so. In 1967, despite it being the 50th anniversary of Our Lady's first apparition in Fatima, Sister Lucia did not want to go to Fatima to appear with Pope Paul VI. Lucia had obstinately refused to obey the order which the Bishop of Coimbra has transmitted to leave her cloister on May 13th to go to Fatima. Finally, she telephoned herself, the papal nuncio in Lisbon, who informed her that she would gravely disobey the Holy Father if she didn't go there. If that had only been a wish of the Holy Father and not a command, she would have preferred to stay in the convent. Given her hesitancy, Vatican officials may have feared a public relations debacle if the real Sister Lucia appeared beside the Pope. Even if she said nothing, her attitude towards him could have conveyed a clear message about the Vatican's treatment of Fatima and its post-conciliar project. If she was seen remonstrating with him, the world's press would have demanded to know what was said. Moreover, under express order of Our Lady, the third secret was to have been released in 1960. The Vatican may have feared that if the real Sister Lucia appeared before the world's press after 1960, she might release the secret on her own. As a result of these considerations, the Vatican may have decided to substitute the imposter for Sister Lucia for the public appearance with Pope Paul VI. Having done so once, the Vatican could hardly backtrack and bring out the real Sister Lucia for subsequent appearances, even assuming she would want to appear. Instead, the imposter substituted for appearances with John Paul II in 1982, 1991, and 2000, and on a handful of other occasions. It undoubtedly suited the Vatican that the imposter should appear jovial and upbeat in her public interactions with the Pope and others. Gambling on this farce was far better than risking what the real Sister Lucia, who was warning about diabolical disorientation in the hierarchy, might do or say. As recounted in Chapter 2, Father Gruner agreed with Father Kramer's statement in 2012 that it's not impossible that the real Sister Lucy would have created a problem by telling the truth, so it is quite possible that she was kept in seclusion, and they could have had someone else at least appearing publicly to impersonate her. Both priests thought using a fake Sister Lucia for specific public events was entirely plausible, because the logistics would require the involvement of only a few individuals who could maintain silence. More importantly, they both knew from experience that the church hierarchy had ample motive. The Vatican does not want Catholics to know and understand the complete message of Our Lady of Fatima, because it is inimical to the post-Vatican II ecumenical and modernist agenda. The imposter Sister Lucia is just another part of the Vatican's long history of attempting to deconstruct and downplay the Fatima message. Fatima is approved. The attacks begin. On October 13, 1930, with the consent of Pope Pius XI, Bishop De Silva of Liria, the diocese in which Fatima is situated, announced that the Church deemed the Fatima apparitions to be worthy of belief. Despite this official approval, which has been recognized by every subsequent pope, except John the 23rd, members of the church hierarchy have relentlessly attacked the Fatima message, seeking to undermine it through distortion and disinformation. Father Donis, the Great Doubter. The modernist Belgian Jesuit, Father Edouard Donis, led a most insidious assault which may have caused some of the greatest damage to the Fatima message. He did not believe Sister Lucia's testimony and throughout the 1940s sought to sow his doubt pervasively. Father Donis divided the Fatima message into two parts, Fatima I and Fatima II. Fatima I only referred to the apparitions in 1917 and the limited message widely circulated at that time, which he grudgingly admitted were authentic. Fatima II consisted of all the aspects of the Fatima message which Sister Lucia revealed after 1925. These included the apparitions of the angel in 1915 and 1916, parts of the Great Secret and the Vision of Hell, devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and Our Lady's messages at Pontevedra in 1925 regarding the First Saturday Devotion, and at Tui in 1929 regarding the consecration of Russia. Donis speculated that these elements of the Fatima message were an unconscious fabrication and, embellishment by Sister Lucia. The effect of Donna's theory is to reduce Our Lady of Fatima's message to praying the rosary and working towards peace. This error has become so ubiquitous that many Catholics believe this is the totality of the Fatima message. Father Donis refused to study the official Fatima archives or consult other documents made available to him by the Bishop of Liria. He also refused to go to the Carmel of Coimbra to interview Sister Lucia himself. While his thesis on Fatima was refuted numerous times by reputable Fatima experts, he evaded the important issues and would not address their main arguments. Father Donis was neither intellectually honest nor a reliable Mariologist. Nonetheless, Father Donis' work became the reference for the adversaries of Fatima. For example, he was the only authority cited by the Vatican in The Message of Fatima, the booklet in which it was claimed that the full third secret was being revealed, June 26, 2000. They even described him as an eminent scholar on Fatima. 1959, Father Fuentes interview denounced. Father Agustin Fuentes was a Mexican priest and the postulator for the cause of Jacinta and Francisco's beatification. In this capacity, he had access to Sister Lucia. An interview he conducted with her on December 26, 1957, was published with episcopal permission in 1958. It was read widely, and no one questioned its authenticity. The following year, on July 2, 1959, Father Fuentes' interview with Sister Lucia was suddenly denounced as fraudulent in an anonymous report published by the Chancery Office of Coimbra. The report accused Father Fuentes of completely inventing his account of Sister Lucia's statements. Several prelates came to Father Fuentes' defense. Nevertheless, Father Fuentes was relieved of his position as postulator for the causes of Francisco and Jacinta's beatification. Years later, Father Joaquin Alonso, the official Fatima archivist, also defended Father Fuentes. Father Alonso initially believed the calumny leveled against Father Fuentes. After studying the Fatima archives for years, however, Father Alonso reversed his position and stated that the Father Fuentes interview was a true and accurate report of Sister Lucia's statements concerning the content of the message of Fatima. 1960. The secret is suppressed, and Sister Lucia is silenced. Towards the end of Pius XII's pontificate, the Vatican commanded the Bishop of Fatima to send all documentation regarding Fatima, especially the third secret, to Rome. Pope John XXIII read the third secret on August 17, 1959. However, as Antonio Socci remarks, he made the decision to suppress it after deciding it was, quote, not entirely supernatural, but without having the courage to give such a judgment solemnly and publicly, because this would involve almost demolishing all of Fatima. By doing so, he disobeyed Our Lady's command that the third secret should be revealed to the world in 1960. A clear turning point. In February 1960, an anonymous Vatican communique indicated that the third secret would not be revealed despite Our Lady's command, declaring that it is most likely that the letter will never be opened, in which Sister Lucia wrote down the words which Our Lady confided as a secret to the three little shepherds in the Cova di Iria. 1960 also marked the silencing of Sister Lucia. Following the 1959 anonymous report from the Coimbra Chancery regarding Father Fuentes' interview, it became increasingly difficult for anyone to see Sister Lucia. For years, no more of her writings were published. She was forbidden to speak about the third secret at all. From 1960 onwards, she could not receive any visitors except close relatives and long-established friends. Father Aparicio, Sister Lucia's confessor for many years, was not permitted to see her when he visited Portugal. He stated, "I have not been able to speak with Sister Lucia because the Archbishop could not give the permission to meet her. The conditions of isolation in which she finds herself have been imposed by the Holy See. Consequently, no one may speak with her without a license from Rome." Sister Lucia would remain under this order of silence until her death, unable to speak freely about Fatima without special permission from the Vatican. Once Sister Lucia was silenced and essentially hidden from the world, became easy for those who wished to deceive the faithful at large about the Fatima message to attribute false statements to her, which contradicted her previous consistent and reliable testimony. It also subsequently made it easier to begin to use an imposter to pose as Sister Lucia at various public events. Father Gruner and the Fatima Center continually made efforts to free Sister Lucy from her years of enforced silence. In the letter accompanying Issue 35 of the Fatima Crusader, Winter 1990-91, for example, Father Gruner wrote, "Our goal has been nothing less than to bring the authentic testimony of Our Lady's chosen witness to you and the world, and to finally end the confusion surrounding the Fatima message. Our efforts have been truly blessed. In just the last few weeks alone, thousands of Sister Lucia's friends have come forward to ask that she be given the right to speak her mind freely. Thousands have sent postcards and letters to the Holy Father, Cardinal Ratzinger, and Cardinal Lubachivsky. Thousands have helped us distribute the facts about the cover-up that is preventing Our Lady's full message from reaching the world and keeping Sister Lucia silent. You know that the one thing that the enemies of Fatima fear most is the truth. It's the reason why Sister Lucia has been silenced for more than 30 years, and why, despite Our Lady's command, the third secret of Fatima remains hidden." Those are all quotes from Father Gruner. 1975, Father Alonso is silenced. In 1966, the Bishop of Leiria Fatima, Monsignor João Venancio, saw the necessity and urgency of defending the authentic message of Our Lady of Fatima. He commissioned a learned Claretian priest, Father Joaquin Alonso, to write a complete critical history concerning the Fatima revelations. As part of his work on the project, Father Alonso met with and interviewed Sister Lucia multiple times through 1974. If Sister Lucia was eliminated any time before 1967, then Father Alonso met with the imposter throughout. It strains credulity to believe that the imposter would have known sufficient details and particulars about Sister Lucia's life, about the Fatima apparitions, and about Sister Lucia's public and private statements to successfully convince him over multiple interactions that she was the real Sister Lucia. It is also inconceivable that an imposter supporting the Vatican's narrative would have convinced Father Alonso that the Father Fuentes interview was true. In 1975, Father Alonso completed Fatima Texts and Critical Studies. It consists of numerous volumes, 14 to 24, of about 800 pages each, containing at least 5,396 documents pertaining to the beginnings of the Fatima apparitions up to November 1974. Father Alonso's work was ready for publication, but the new Bishop of Fatima, Monsignor Alberto do Amaral, literally stopped the presses. Only 6 of the volumes were eventually published, and only in a heavily edited form in years following 1991, i.e. after the 1989 Vatican instruction, which demanded everyone adopt the narrative that the 1984, quote, consecration was sufficient. Catholics have been denied seeing the rest of Father Alonso's monumental work, which remains under seal to this day. There would have been no reason for the hierarchy to suppress Father Alonso's scholarly work had he been interviewing an imposter who parroted the Vatican narrative. A watershed moment, the 1989 instruction. On May 13, 1981, Mehmet Aliaga attempted to assassinate Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. The Pope survived and was convinced Our Lady of Fatima had saved him. Interest in the message of Fatima and the consecration of Russia was renewed. John Paul II performed various consecrations in 1981, 82, and 84. But in each case, Our Lady's request was not fulfilled. As noted in Chapter 5, Sister Lucia consistently confirmed these attempts as failures. John Paul II even acknowledged at the time that his 1984 consecration had not fulfilled Our Lady's request. In July 1989, Father Messias Colo, in the presence of 3 witnesses, revealed that Sister Lucia had just received an instruction, quote-unquote, from unidentified persons in the Vatican bureaucracy, stating that she and her fellow religious must now say that the consecration of Russia was accomplished by the 1984 Consecration of the World ceremony, in which Russia was never mentioned and the world's bishops did not participate. Five letters falsely attributed to Sister Lucia, 1989-1990. As the 1989 instruction clearly went against the consistent testimony of Sister Lucia, significant efforts had to be made to adjust the Catholic world's perception of her testimony. Shortly after this instruction, five typed letters bearing the alleged signature of Sister Lucia circulated between August 1989 and July 1990. These letters claimed, among other things, and contrary to Sister Lucia's consistent previous testimony, that the consecration of the world performed by Pope John Paul II in 1984 fulfilled Our Lady of Fatima's request. These letters were forgeries. In October 1990, Sister Lucia's blood sister, Carolina, who still routinely visited and corresponded with her, personally affirmed to Father Gruner and Father Kramer that Lucia's letters to her and others were always written in longhand, never typed on a computer or typewriter. Sister Lucia's mother prioress also confirmed in an interview that Sister Lucia, then in her early 80s, conducted her correspondence only in her own handwriting. Frère François de Marie de Angais established that the letters contained internal factual errors. The Fatima Center made it known that a forensic analysis of the signature on one of the letters, which was sent to Father Kramer, demonstrated the signature was fake. Diabolical revisionist history. The five fake letters were the first salvo in a process of, quote, revising Our Lady's request from the consecration of Russia to the consecration of the world. This false narrative was further entrenched by the Evaristo interviews with a woman who was an imposter. Then Father Robert J. Fox, head of the World Apostolate of Fatima, began his campaign of disinformation about the consecration of Russia. At the same time, powerful forces from within the Vatican began to target Father Gruner and the Fatima Center for suppression. Despite Father Gruner's best efforts to set the record straight, many Catholics began to believe that Sister Lucia herself had said the consecration of Russia was performed. That lie is repeated to this day in multiple publications and on multiple Catholic websites. The devil's efforts to prevent the fulfillment of the Fatima message have been successful to date. Censure of Sister Lucia and other key proponents of the message, false statements, and misdirection have sown doubt and discord even among adherents of the Fatima message. In such a context, the deployment of an imposter, Sister Lucia, for public appearances since 1967 is not surprising. It is one of the many things the Vatican has done to downplay the truth and import of the Fatima message in favor of its own modernist agenda. And we will continue with this issue of the Fatima Crusader tomorrow. Let us conclude by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Additionally, please tune in to episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. RPM is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. We had to guess as to what all of her wants and needs were. Tremendously sad and frustrating for her and for our entire family. Now, breaking through to open communication via RPM by her hard work, the hard work of her family, God's grace above all else, of course, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry. She's very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough for non-speakers in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. Communication is a human right. This has helped so many people, and we pray that it will help many, many more. Please spread the word far and wide. May God richly bless you for doing so. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.